and welcome to Focus on the Delaware Valley. I'm Laura Lewis, and with me today from the American Heart Association, the American Heart and Stroke Association in Delaware, Yinka Isiche. She is Community Impact Manager, and welcome.
Thank you, Laura. Thank you so much for having me today.
And, well, as we mentioned before, we began taping that we've got a holiday this week, and that's the reason that you're in today, because May 17th is World Hypertension Day. And do you want to explain the importance of making this a world holiday?
So it's important. Hypertension is a silent killer of so many people, and to bring awareness about it to a national level, I think it's really important for people to know.
I know that this is a world issue, and for many people, it's lack of access. They don't have the ability to know their numbers, and that's what the World Health Organization is working towards. All the partners in the World Health Initiative are doing, but here in the United States, it's just as big an issue as it is in places that you would imagine that are remote or that lack opportunity for proper nutrition. So how bad are we here in the U.S.?
So here in the U.S., 1 in 4 individuals is walking around with hypertension and not knowing it. More locally, here in Delaware, as of 2019, 34.6% of adults had been told by a healthcare professional that they have high blood pressure, and so many of them are so unaware. And now that we're in 2023, I'm sure that number has grown significantly. The state of Delaware has the third worst rate of mortality from stroke in the entire U.S.
And of course, I threw in the part about stroke because we keep forgetting that we're all one big bag of cardiovascular systems. And the issues that can cause a heart attack can also lead towards stroke as well. Let's go back it up and talk a little bit about the American Heart Association, the American Heart and Stroke Association, and its mission. What are your goals, especially when we're talking about hypertension right now?
Okay. So, and I'll take it back a little even further. So we are in the month of May, and May is Stroke Awareness Month. And for more information on stroke, you can feel free to visit www.stroke.org. And May is also Blood Pressure Awareness Month. And we interchangeably use high blood pressure and hypertension. They essentially mean the same thing. And this coming Wednesday, May 17th, is World Hypertension Day. And all of these things, untreated high blood pressure can lead to heart attack, heart failure, vision loss, you know, so many other things if high blood pressure is left untreated.
I think we're all aware of the ramifications of high blood pressure, but do we actually know what is high blood for an idiot like me? They say know your numbers, but I don't understand what the numbers mean.
So the standard blood pressure, it's 120, an ideal number, blood pressure reading, is 120 over 80. Anything over that is considered hypertensive. So you have your normal reading, and then you have, like, the worst case scenario would be hypertensive crisis. And that is any reading over 129 over 120. And that's when you literally should be in a hospital getting checked out.
Well, backing it up. So those are the numbers that we're looking at there. But what is actually hypertension? Is it too much?
It's the force. It's the force of which blood is flowing or being pushed out in your heart.
Now, see, it wasn't that easy. I'm embarrassed to admit that I have never actually known that. And, of course, this is what can lead to the heart attack or lead to that stroke. And so what are the causes of hypertension then? Now that we know what it is, what causes it?
Stress, lack of sleep, alcohol, poor diet, excessive salt, inactivity. Those are some of the things that lead to high blood pressure. If those things aren't addressed and taken care of, that is what typically leads people to high blood pressure. And I think people underestimate quality sleep. Staying active, just walking, you know, 30 minutes a day, it can make a world of a difference for someone who has high blood pressure.
You just described my lifestyle. Salt, booze, inactivity, and stress. And That's the way I roll. But you know, you look at me and you go, "Well, okay, she's kind of scrawny." But that doesn't mean that I don't have high blood pressure.
That is correct. And that's the thing. So many people don't know. You know, take myself and you. We look like two very different people, but you never know what either one of us is going on internally with either one of us.
Now, I've heard it said you can't choose your genes, and that's so genetics do play into this. But is anyone more likely to have high blood pressure as an issue? Does it follow ethnicity? Does it follow where you live?
So most people who do have hypertension are African American, people living in underserved communities who don't have access to the best nutrition or aren't able, you know, to exercise or, you know, so many other things are going on where all of those things aren't priority. Those are the people you tend to see with high blood pressure. But especially in the African American and Hispanic communities, it's a higher prevalence in those communities.
And what about gender?
Well, women are at risk for high blood pressure, and especially as a woman, when pregnant women, it's such a thing that, you know, they monitor those things very closely during pregnancy. So preeclampsia is an issue for women who are pregnant and even after birth. So a lot of pregnant women, you know, at every appointment, and if some who fall under that category of high risk, they're actually given blood pressure devices to monitor themselves on a daily basis just to avoid any complications during that pregnancy.
And I know that as women age, hormones will start playing a part of it too.
Yes, especially those over the age of 65. They're definitely, you know, a priority population just because of their age. You know, a lot of people over the age of 65 are dealing with hypertension as well.
And yet so many of us don't know our numbers. And that is one of the single most important things that we can do, even if it's just to establish a baseline. Mm-hmm.
And so to know your numbers, so one of the great things about Delaware that the American Heart Association has done through Hypertension Control Network funding, every single library here in the state of Delaware has blood pressure devices that individuals can check out if they want to know their numbers. So as long as you have a valid library ID card, you can go to the library and check out a cuff for 3 weeks, renewable for up to 2 times. And it comes with a log that you're able to track your numbers. And so if you're concerned and say, "Hey, you know what? I don't think these numbers are looking okay," you can then call your provider and say, "I've been checking my blood pressure just, you know, for my own personal reasons. I'm a little concerned about what I'm seeing here." So that is a benefit. As long as you have a valid library card, you can check out a cuff here in the library. And we have in circulation, there are about 250 to 300 cuffs in the libraries here throughout the state.
Wow, that's great. And I do know that there is the recommendation that you do it a couple of times because we all have that cuff anxiety.
Yes, and so some of the other recommendations, and if you visit heart.org and a doctor's offices, some places have graphics. So when you're taking your blood pressure, you should be still and at rest for at least 5 minutes. No talking, no caffeine, sitting straight up, feet flat on the ground, back against the chair, and making sure that you're as relaxed as possible to get that reading, the most accurate reading.
Now, I've also been told an empty bladder is... Is that because you're relaxing?
Maybe. That's probably a good idea, too.
Don't want to get too relaxed. While you're doing that. So let's talk a little bit about the Hypertension Control Network. And... what is that?
So the Hypertension Control Network was funded founded in January of 2021, and it's organizations with healthcare organizations, providers, practices, healthcare advocates who came together to convene to say, we would like to improve blood pressure control rates in the state of Delaware to at least 70% by 2024. And we're in 2023. So, you know, we're approaching, you know, that timeline goal for us. But, you know, so many people are working together on this Hypertension Control Network to address issues of hypertension here in Delaware. So we work with almost all the hospital systems. ones here in Delaware. So Christiana Care, Bay Health, BB, Title Health, St. Francis, Black Nurses Rock, a lot of faith-based organizations have partnered with us also just to bring awareness to hypertension.
No stress there with that one-year diet, you know, one-year deadline coming up and all of that. So this is totally off topic. Do you have any idea how COVID impacted our heart health?
So I'm not really, I don't have specific data on that, but I can only imagine the stress, the depression, being cooped up at home. You know, pre-COVID, we were able to get out, exercise, you know, do so many things. And then for a period of time, we were just trapped essentially in our home. So I can only imagine not being able to get to the doctor and, you know, do all the things we were normally doing. And in so many other spaces, we've seen how COVID has affected us. So I can only imagine, you know, how that impacted hypertension as well.
You mentioned that you're dealing with all of these different health providers and networks, but you also mentioned in there community efforts as well, faith-based, and that is a major part of the American Heart Association's work these days, that it's getting the word out, not, I don't want to say grassroots, but getting it out through where we're located in our neighborhoods, in our communities.
And so a lot of churches, you'll see that they have health ministries, and these health ministries are doing as much as they can to you know, provide education and knowledge to their congregation. People want their members to live long. People, especially from a faith-based standpoint, it's about the whole person. So I've seen, you know, a lot of churches doing, you know, community blood pressure screenings, glucose readings, and just making sure that this person as an individual is well aware. And I've seen churches after, you know, after their services, they have pamphlets of information from various organizations, whether it's the YMCA, whether it's, you know, the pharmacy, different people are coming to talk to them and provide this education just so that they're well informed.
And I remember the barbershop campaigns.
And yes, so Black Nurses Rock, I believe they that was something, you know, we partnered with them, and not even just here in Delaware, in some other states, they have partnered with them to do the barbershop screenings. So anywhere that people are congregating, so churches, fairs, we recently had an event, Go Red for Women Luncheon. We were able to provide, one of the mobile pharmacies was able to provide a blood pressure screenings on site for women at this luncheon that day.
And we see those. So whenever you see a cuff, take advantage of it is basically the rule.
Yes. Always know your numbers. Go to the library. And if you visit the Delaware Hypertension Control Network, there is a site map on there that can tell you where blood pressure cuffs are located. So some of them are retail pharmacies. Some of them are churches. You know, some of them are, and you know, sporadic places in the community. But if you visit that part of the website, it can tell you where you can find access a cuff to get a reading.
So I don't have a family history of high blood pressure, but at the same time, maybe I do have, I know that I'm not eating properly, or I know that I'm not getting enough exercise. What can I do step by step to try and lower my blood pressure?
So I think sleep, again, is important. Getting adequate sleep. I think getting out into nature, walking, even the slightest, you know, bit of movement, standing. Some of us are at a desk, you know, for 8 hours a day, but standing alone, you know, increases, you know, physical activity. Monitoring your diet. I can go for pizza and wings on a normal night when I don't have time to cook, but is that the healthiest or wisest option? Probably not. Swap out your you know, your normal takeout for maybe a salad. You know, weather is getting warmer. People are going to be grilling. Maybe think of like bunless burgers. Just, you know, healthier options. Reduce the sodium. And then most importantly, working with your healthcare provider, you know, know your numbers. You know, the doctor is able to prescribe medication. You know, there's no cure for high blood pressure, but there is medication. And I think working with your care team will help you figure out a plan of action as to how to lower your blood pressure.
You know what? We forgot the one biggie, and I know this one from World Hypertension Day and the CDC, and it was tobacco.
Tobacco, yeah, and that's a big one. Tobacco cessation, and, you know, that's another big thing. Alcohol, limiting alcohol consumption, those are two other things that anyone can do to lower their blood pressure as well.
So according to the CDC, in their releases, what they were doing for the world, they were looking at the tobacco cessation, reducing salt, reducing or eliminating trans fat, and again, the physical activity. And when we go to the American Heart Association, the American Heart and Stroke Association, I feel like we're, you know, punishing poor stroke here, and it's their month too, when you go to their website, either stroke.org or heart.org for the American Heart Association, you have just fabulous information. And it can be everything from how to get, you know, how to cook properly, recipes, but also physical activity recommendations. Yeah. And you mentioned that taking a walk or maybe using a stand-up desk, but you actually prescribe how much and what we should be doing.
And so I think the stroke.org and heart.org websites are amazing wealth of knowledge and resources for people to do. I think simply being active, and, you know, I'm guilty of it too. I think the most activity is running after my toddler, but getting active, you know, it's so important for people to do. And if you access, you know, the stroke.org website and the heart.org website, there's so much information. There's a page dedicated to recipes and specific symptoms chronic conditions. So we have sections of the website that are completely dedicated to high blood pressure. What is CHF? What is a heart attack versus stroke? There's different, you know, it's almost like going through a rabbit hole. There's so much information, and it's all beneficial to you. I mean, if you really have time to do a deep dive through, especially through heart.org, you know, there's just so much beneficial information for you there.
I know it's, what, 150 minutes a week?
Of recommended exercise, yes.
Recommended exercise, and some of that needs to be cardio too.
Yes, and I mean, and make it fun. I think a lot of people don't like, I mean, it's exercising is not fun. Let's be very honest. So, you know, try and switch it up. Do swimming, do some aerobic exercises, you know, take up a spin class at the gym. And, you know, gyms are great that they do offer a lot of different varieties of exercises. Do some strength training, you know, do stairs. The stair climber is an amazing but tiring machine, but it's beneficial to you. So make use of all the different things. And then, you know, if you don't have access to the gym, you know, so a lot of the parks here in Delaware have some awesome trails. Make use of that. Or if you don't get out the house often, you know, make use of some of these online platforms that offer different exercise courses, and they do them, you know, in different capacities depending on your level.
You mentioned a variety of activities, but then it's our food too. And the American Heart Association here in Delaware especially has really worked hard to get us to eat better.
Yes. And so one of the things that we're doing, we have worked with the Food Bank and Bay Health, and we launched the 302 Food Rescue back in November of 2022. And, you know, we want to increase produce capacity and fresh foods. So, you know, that has been something that we've been working to do. So with the 302 Food Rescue, we're working hard for that everybody has access to fresh produce.
You know, it took me a minute to figure out what 302 is. It's the area code for Delaware. Add dumb to my list of lifestyle choices. A variety. I know, eat your greens, eat your colors. That was a big line for the American Heart Association. So it's stop smoking and work on that weight, get that exercise, remove that salt shaker, and eat a variety of foods. But then what do you do if you have high blood pressure? Now, what's the control network?
What are they doing? What's your work? You're one of the leaders.
So the control network, we convene once a month, and we're talking and addressing different hypertension control initiatives within Delaware. And, you know, we try and have a speaker each month that's telling us what they're doing in the community to address hypertension. In regards to the food, I think one of the things we don't pay enough attention to is portion sizes. Some people are going way, most of us, let's be very honest, many of us are going above and beyond the recommended portion sizes. So if we're paying attention to that, if you think of the standard portion plate, I know way too many times I've gone over that portion amount. So it's also something that we need to pay attention to.
I read that label after I've downed the product. And then it's like, there were two servings in that had the big sign on the front that said 100 calories. Yeah, but there were three servings in the can that I just finished.
And I think I think reading nutrition labels, working with a dietitian or working with a nutritionist, I think it's important. It'll help a lot of people understand what their dietary needs are. And, you know, again, consult your physician, you know, depending on your blood type, depending on your health needs, you know, just work with somebody who's going to help you address those needs.
Now, who should be calling or joining these network meetings?
So the Hypertension Control Network. So any healthcare organizations, some faith-based organizations, any nonprofit organization who would like, you know, to join the fight against hypertension, our hospital systems, we're welcoming a lot of different partners to this table so that we collectively can address hypertension in Delaware.
So this is for your peers.
Yes.
So you work with a lot of amazing groups, but what about individuals that would like to be a part of the programming?
So we have a lot of volunteers, and we're always looking for volunteers for different aspects and events and occasions with the American Heart Association. So if you have an interest, if you're looking for, you know, if you would like to help us, you know, in that fight against hypertension or carrying out the vision and mission of the American Heart Association, I invite everyone to visit our website and see how they can get involved.
You know, we've been talking around this all this time, but now one of the most important things that the American Heart and Stroke Association have ever done is tell us when we need help. And do you want to talk a little bit about the signs of a heart incident or the signs of stroke?
So stroke, I'll talk about that, especially since we're in Stroke Awareness Month. So the acronym for stroke is FAST: face drooping, 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 arm weakness, speech or slurred speech, and then time to call 911. So if you ever witness anyone, if their facial, their side of their face or their facial expressions start to droop, their speech is becoming slurred, they can't lift their hands, those are telltale signs that someone is having a stroke, and it's call 911 immediately.
And that's the thing. You want someone to call 911, not go.
Yes. You call 911. And even in, you know, when it comes to if you see somebody having a cardiac emergency, even if you are not able to provide, you know, the rescue rest, hand compressions, that's been a big push of recent, is bystander hand compression or bystander CPR. With the hand compressions, you can do a lot with that. I think the world witnessed the situation with Damar Hamlin back in January, and I think the awareness for CPR has just increased so much since then. We have a 60-second training video on the heart.org website that teaches you or shows you how to do, you know, accurate hand compressions, and, you know, call 911, have them on speaker, and start those hand compressions immediately. It could save a life.
You know, the American Heart Association in Delaware has come out now twice to teach us CPR. And we go to town with those dolls. And in the breathless CPR is a great help because a lot of people obviously are hesitant. But one of the sad, terrible facts that we learned was that 70% of women will not receive first aid on the street.
And it's sad. I know people are aware of, is it okay for me to touch this person? I think if you think of it as you're saving someone's life, you're making a difference. And whether this person survives this event, I think just being there and starting the compressions, and there's, you know, if you go online and you do some digging on the website, it shows you proper hand placement to make sure that you're doing it correctly. And again, if you're just thinking about this person's life, anything else should be at the back of your mind at that point.
You know what? If you're the only, you know, maybe they will not survive. But if you don't do anything, they definitely will not survive.
Yeah.
And making that plan, which a lot of people cited the NFL, they knew what to do. Yeah. They had a plan that they could roll out immediately, and that included knowing and having an AED.
Yes, and you'd be surprised that even now some places don't have AEDs. So that's also important. And American Heart Association works with other organizations. If they don't have like a cardiac emergency plan in place, that's something that we can look in local divisions of AHA that we can work with an organization. Sometimes there's grants available to help. So, we can assist. Like community impact staff are able to assist organizations through that process of creating that cardiac emergency response plan and getting them connected to the right people so that they do have the proper AED, working with their local EMS, having a plan in place.
Now, of course, the most important thing, and we're almost out of time. I'm giving you the 2-minute warning. The best thing of all is not to have that heart attack, not to have that stroke. And a good portion of it is what we're talking about this month, the month of May being Stroke Awareness Month, and this coming Wednesday, the 17th, being World Hypertension Day. So take us home. What do you want us to learn from this?
I think the biggest takeaways are knowing your numbers, being educated. Again, in your free time, we all have a phone. So go to the website, go to heart.org, learn more about hypertension, learn more about high blood pressure and what you can do about it to keep yourself safe. You're important to your family and your friends, and you want to be around as long as you can. So be in the know. Another thing is at least one person in every household should know CPR or at least be able to do hand compressions. You never know when something is going to happen. So those hand compressions are an important skill for everyone to have.
And the American Heart and Stroke Association have classes. And as you said, you've got that 60-second training video because just your, you know, the littlest action can make a difference.
Make a huge difference. And I believe a lot of the libraries offer classes where you'll get the card certification that you've actually gone through the entire class. So, you know, I want to distinguish the actual CPR demonstration versus certification versus the demo. The demo is the hand compressions and the certification is the whole class and you get that card, you know, to carry in your wallet. But again, you're learning life-saving skills, and you never know when it's going to come in handy.
So no CPR, know to call 911, and know where that AED is, and you could save a life. But again, the best thing is an ounce of prevention, and so you're telling us
sleep.
Eat better.
Yeah.
Put down the salt shaker and don't even think about smoking. And we can bring up Delaware's numbers.
Yes. Work with your physician. You know, everyone, they're here to help you. Reach out if you need help. But again, we want to bring Delaware to higher rates of control and hypertension so that we're not number 3 in the nation for a stroke or for hypertension.
And of course, for information about everything we talked about today, whether it's you want to volunteer. They have great events throughout the year, and there's always something for somebody to do at the American Heart Association, the American Heart and Stroke Association. Today, I'm going to just say, go to heart.org. Everything that we've talked about is right there, heart.org. hypertension.org. And my guest today, a leader with the Hypertension Control Network and the Community Impact Manager for our Heart Association here in Delaware, Yenka Itsiche. And thank you for being on.
Thank you so much for having me, Laura. It's been a pleasure.
And you must come back again then.
Yes, definitely.
I'm Laura Lewis. This has been Focus on the Delaware Valley.